If I get no applause this time, I'm shutting it down. Y'all will get nothing else, okay? This guy lived in Florida, and he would raise dogs to fight, right? So, man, he had this dog that had not lost a fight in 300 times, 300 bouts. So one time this guy came out of the audience and said, man, you got to tell me the secret. He says, every one of your fights I've attended, and your dog makes short work of everybody. I mean, 2 minutes, 10 seconds, fight's over. He said, you got to tell me how you bred him. What is he? He said, I'm not telling you my secret because it gets out. And he said, man, I wouldn't tell nobody. I want a lot of money with you. Why would I tell anybody? I said, okay. Before I had the surgery done on his mouth, cut his tail, he was an alligator. Hey, y'all might get one next week. In other words, my favorite subject is grace through the gospel. There is no other way to the Father except through grace. Salvation is by grace through faith. I had a question asked me Thursday of a lady that was a Catholic. She said, if you teach, work is all done, it's finished. By grace are you saved through faith. Then people will just go out and live like they want. And my question is always, how do you want to live? I've tried it the other way. Well, now I'm getting about equal. Before I got saved versus after I got saved, the years are starting to balance out. By the time I get 80, because I got saved at 40, it'd be 50-50. And I tried it the other way. I thought it was fun. I thought it was good. Because it was gratification to the one who controlled me, which is the flesh. But if we do an examination of the word grace, and I've done that for the last couple of years, you know what I mean? Because I had this same thought process that if Christ completed the work, what he's telling me, that your sins are forgiven, you know, there's no condemnation, that, man, I can go out and live like a wretch. But grace says no. Define the word grace, charis, unmerited, unearnable, unobtainable by works. Anything you want to put in it, it's all from God. But the major part of grace is that it tugs at the heart. It influences the lifestyle. That's in the definition of the Greek word grace. And the word faith, the same. The influence of a spiritual leader, which is Christ, depending on him for salvation. So my point being, those are our two teachers. Grace would never tell us to go out and live like a heathen. Never, never, never. And the greatest example in the Bible, other than Jesus Christ himself, because he really didn't need grace because he had nothing on his record, that is on the sinful ledger. So he really didn't need grace. But he always showed grace to those who needed it. And then the Apostle Paul. Turn to Acts chapter 7. We all know this story of Paul. You know, when we live in the flesh, we obey the things of the flesh. And that includes religion. And that's what I told a young lady. That no, a lifestyle through grace is a life controlled by God the Spirit. In Acts chapter 7, This Acts chapter 7. We ain't got to read the whole thing. I just want to give you the gist of it. We know that this is the place where we found really the first sermon, right? And who witnessed this sermon? A young man named who? Saul, Paul, right? And we know what happened. Somebody got stoned. And I mean they got drunk. They got stoned for preaching a grace message. You all look to the law, the very thing that condemned you. You say, you know, if we had the prophets, we would not have killed them. We, you know. Stephen said, none of y'all heard that. None of y'all. And y'all always resist the Holy Spirit. The one that wants to come and live in you, control you, guide you. Not what Moses did, but what Christ has done. But the message of grace wasn't received, and it wasn't received by Paul. In other words, Paul was a witness of that, and Paul claimed it throughout his ministry. Paul said, I stood there and I watched it. And I did nothing. Well, Paul, you couldn't understand the gospel? No, because my religion had me totally blinded. While Stephen was stoned, I was figuring out what was the next town I was going to go in and drag out the Christians out of the way and just mutilate them. Because that's not what I believe. I don't believe that God would take what he gave to Moses and replace it with unmerited favor. I just don't believe he would do that. So I'm upholding what I believe. Paul said, that's it. This is what I believe. And I'm going to defend it to the end. Well, Paul, I'm sorry you're not. Because when the grace of God appeared to Paul, Paul didn't change direction. Paul didn't flip. God changed his direction. Because God said, Paul, I'm going to give you the teacher. And that is the grace of God. It's going to influence your heart. It's going to direct you in the right direction. Take you away from all that you believe. And you're going to become one of the main spokespersons of the New Testament. And from that point on, Paul never, ever relented. But with that in mind, go to Hebrews chapter 12. And let's look at something. Y'all can read 7. I just want to take y'all there and let you know where I was coming from. Paul was in total darkness. He didn't know that this light had appeared to bring salvation. But in Hebrews chapter 12, I told a young lady this who was formerly a Catholic, and she felt like at least they had a course to follow. You know what I'm saying? If I go to the priest and if I do this and if I do the holy days and if I do this and if I do this, that's just another law. And it does the same thing the original law did. It condemns. Because I guarantee you that in the end time, not one of them will have made every holy day. And not one of them will have confessed every sin to some man. The Catholic friends who say, I would never go in there and say what I really should have said. I just go in there and say some stuff to get through the, you know, what we do. But in Hebrews chapter 12, this is the part of the scripture where the writer here is talking about God's discipline, right? Well, in verse 5 of 10, well, verse 2, it says, the writer says this in Hebrews 12, 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before us, the joy was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. He endured the shame. You say, what shame? The shame for all mankind. This very thing that you should be getting, I'm going in your place. Now, the writer here should tell us that, well, okay, what's next? Do we have rules, and do we have regulations, and do we incorporate the law of Moses, or do we not let go of the law of Moses? Mentions nothing. But in verse 6, he says what? In whom the Lord loved, he chastens. The word they're chastening is synonymous with the word grace. It teaches us. It educates us. The same thing that grace does. And I say, as Paul says in Colossians, always let your conversation be seasoned with grace. Mike, in case you have to eat your word, it at least have seasoning on it. God's discipline is the best thing in a Christian's life because it does the same work as faith, as grace. None of this could be accomplished by law. If there had been a law that could have given righteousness, then Christ is dead in vain. Forget about grace. And it's the most misunderstood word. You turn your TV on and hear every one of the pastors, or 99% of them, even those who are pretty close to grace, they got some buts. Oh, we're saved by grace through faith, but. And usually you run. You know, you have to do this and you have to do that. No, I have to do anything but believe that Christ is sufficient for everything I need to get to heaven and for everything I need to live the Christian life here on earth. He's made me totally righteous through grace. He's justified me through grace. And his promise, standing on the promises, I'm already glorified through grace. Apart from grace, I could do none of that. Man, Adam died because he broke one law. And Christ died because we broke many. So now you take that and you put it on your ledger and say the work is complete, or you can continue to strive and not come unto him because you're heavy laden, but I'm going to work this out on my own. Man, it's the most understood. And I get it all the time. I mean, you go in a place like a correctional center, where these guys end up with some of the most heinous stuff. Mike know what I'm talking about. You mean to tell me that I can be made right with God? Yes, if you truly, truly believe and know that you're qualified. Well, what's my qualification? Say, read Romans chapter 3. Look at your members. See, your members are always, always doing the wrong thing. And if you shut the book down, when he finished talking about your members and had no solution, I'd be scared to death. But he said, now the righteousness of God has appeared, have been made known or manifested apart from the law, apart from any man-made rule. Come unto me, you who are heavy laden and burdened. Anybody heavy laden and burdened with sin? Come unto me. Because I'll give you rest. You ain't talking about rest from your 9 to 5. Everybody's still going there unless you retire. I'll give you rest for your soul. I will resurrect you from the dead. I'll totally heal you. Not by anything that you do or don't do, By his mercy he saved us, Paul says. Man, it just doesn't get any plainer than that. And it just agitates the hell out of me to hear somebody get on radio or television as lamb blast God like he came as an one of these Hitlers or whatever and say, you do or you get the gas chamber. He simply says, you did and I gave my son the gas chamber. Remember years ago, I went to death row. I was on death row for about 2 hours. Don't y'all go out and tell somebody I was on death row. And then I hired Mike and he got me off. And you would be surprised how hard-hearted these people are. Man, I was excited to go on death row. Nobody else wanted it. The other Gideons, they didn't, you know. I said, oh man, I go. I said, boy, these guys could be jumping out the thing. They're bitter. One guy. My point being, it was me going in the place of Christ saying, I want to give y'all a pardon. That's right. I got it right here. One stipulation. Put your whole trust in what he's promised. And you got a pardon. Spiritually, you walk out of this condemnation. Now, physically, you ain't going nowhere. But think about that. That's what God did to the world, and that's called grace. It's simply called grace. I want to set you free. I want to give you life. And yet, on earth, I want to be your life. I want to live in and through you. The Bible said in Thessalonians, he that promised will do it. I'll live the life if you allow me to. But it's not by a rule or regulation. It's by desire. It's by grace teaching you. It's by faith teaching you that this is what I want to do. That's why in the New Testament you see words like walk in newness of life. Well, if you wasn't empowered to do it, he wouldn't ask you to do it. I've given you the power to do it. You got grace. Sin has no more dominion over you. Romans chapter 6. Can't do anything to you. Sin cannot control us. And every one of you out there, including myself, you may not be the Christian that we all should be, but I guarantee you don't live the lifestyle that you used to live before you knew of the grace of God. You can't come to God and not the right way and practice law, any kind of law. I don't care if it's the Apostle Creeds. I don't care if it's the commandments. I don't care if it's whatever it is. It does not line up with the grace of God. You say, oh, but I keep the commandments. Well, you just broke one because you just lied. Show me anywhere in the commandments where God said, love your wife like I love the church. Is that Ten Commandments? So under grace, God said, I'm going to put you on a higher plane. But I'm going to give you the education and the knowledge of me through my written word, through my mind that I left with you. Pick my brain. Simply pick my brain. That's why Paul says, as you receive Christ Jesus' law, so walk ye in him. And then he expounds, rooted, grounded, built up in the faith. That's what's going to teach you. Oh, before then, he says you're saved by grace through faith. And somebody will say, well, how do I walk in it? By grace through faith. Let it teach you. Let it control you. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you have to turn there. Just before Paul tells us that we're brand new creations in Christ, that he became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of him. Paul says, if one died for all, then all must have been dead, right? And then right behind that, Paul said, it is the love of God that constrains me. That's the grace of God. It's not some law. Paul said, when I witnessed Stephen's death, that's where my mindset was. You getting what you deserve, Stephen, because you didn't do what I say. How could one change his course unless he had a great teacher? And Paul's teacher was grace. I preach Christ crucified. Our glory in the cross. It's grace. It's God's goodness and kind and mercy. Cost God everything. Cost him his only begotten son. That separation for that amount of time. Can you imagine what it felt like for someone who had never committed one sin to take a cup with every sin, all of Hitler's sin, Stalin, everybody, all the politicians. That's enough right there. Did I take them all? But the religion said, well, no, we're gonna keep on confessing the ones that's going to make ourselves right. Well, the only one that you can make yourself right by confessing is that you're a sinner. Unadulterated sinner. And that puts you qualified. Just like Zacchaeus. Just like all those, just like the publican who cried, have mercy on me, Lord, a sinner. Go home justified. What did that guy do that was so great, so good that he might have won God's favor? What he understood was, I'm a wretch. I need a savior. Whereas the other guy was totally righteous. In his mind. And you know what? I never knew you. Depart from me. You either come my way. Or you take the broad road. The other highway. That leads to destruction. Because ain't nothing I can do for you. If you don't think that you need me to do it for you. If you can do it yourself, well, God's doing some dumb things by sending his son to die. I mean, think about it. Don't need your help. Really don't need your help. We got this. You know, we're going to have a po' boy and a shrimp sandwich. God, you sit over there and we'll call you when we need you. Don't sound like praying without ceasing to me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. What can you do? You make the first step, God. Y'all heard that one, huh? Well, if you make the first step, then God will make the second. Well, if you can do nothing, how you going to make the first step? I steal one from Darrell. God said, give me my air right now. Got another breath. Give it here. How long you think he might last? So grace covers the whole spectrum. Do you know every sinner out there today is still alive because of the grace of God? Because all have sinned. He's got a right to kill them. Even though they've rejected him. But it's the grace of God. God said, look, I would have no man to be lost. And I'm just hanging around. Look at the nation of Israel. I'm hanging around for that election of grace to finally come over and then the end. But that's the love of God. Well, God, you're talking about Israel that you brought out of Egypt and they kicked you to the curb as soon as they got to the shores. You're talking about that nation? You're talking about that nation who asked for judges, who asked for kings and who and could never get it right? That's the Israel you're talking about? Yes. Still waiting on him. Just like he waited on you, just like he waited on me. I would see church people walking down the street coming toward me before I got saved, and I would run. I don't want y'all talking to me. You got nothing to tell me. I'm having fun. Y'all going to tell me about going to church and all that mess, and I don't want nothing to do with that. But in God's timing, his grace will do the work. You're going to call me a sinner. I mean, I'm the greatest sinner in the world. Why would he want to save me? Because maybe he says, you will flip your zeal. When you see the grace of God, as Paul said, when they saw the grace of God, they were glad. I guess they were glad. Because all the law said, the soul that sinned, it shall die. The grace of God says, believe this and you shall live forever. If it's a temporal grace, it ain't grace. If it's a probationary salvation, it's not by faith. It has to be through the grace of God. And you believing that it's through the grace of God. That's what it really means to believe. God, you simply said this, I trust you. I believe you. All of my faith is in what you said. Now, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. I do the same thing everywhere I go. I get on a rant. When somebody tried to steal glory from God. Think about it. If you had to do anything when you stand before him, you say, Lord, I thank you for doing these two things, but look at what I did. You know, you got a bunch of people that says, God can't wait to see me. But I say, I can't wait to see him. Because all I am is what he's done for me. Ephesians chapter 2. Look in verse 5. And you wonder why Paul had this zeal to teach the grace of God. Watch what Paul says here. Even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened and made alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And has raised us up together and made us set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The word they in denotes position. And that's an eternal position. Because you're in Christ, Christ is in heaven, you're seated in heavenly places with him. And you wonder why you should be screaming when you see the grace of God? Verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. In the ages to come. Now, let's regress and go back. That was 2,000 years ago. Now, we're still seeing the riches of God's grace. It didn't change. You're saved by it, you're kept by it. You're going to get all the way to heaven by it. God said, this is how I loved you. I saved you. Turn to Titus chapter 2. Now, watch this big old contradiction here. And watch how grace works. Paul set this up by showing us how grace works. Because I'm sure these people in Titus saying, well, Paul, how do we pull all this off? Titus chapter 2, verse 4. He said, that they may teach the young women, be sober, to love their husbands, not somebody else's husband, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, obedient to their own husbands, not talking to the young women, right? Well, Paul, you've given us all these, how do we do this? Look at verse 7. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. Boy, get quiet now. And remember, not by works of righteousness, right? Showing a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech, cannot be condemned. He said, well, man, how do I pull all this off? Now go to verse 11. Here's how we're going to pull it off. Paul says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteous, with a sound mind, that is to live moderately, soberly. Now, what's going to teach us to do that? The grace of God. It has appeared not only for salvation, but it's appeared to teach us how to do this thing, young women. And men, you got a bunch of lists too. You can't do it except you're taught it by the grace of God. Paul said it's appeared that brings salvation, and it appeared to all men, teaching us how to how to deny this ungodliness, to live soberly, righteously in this present evil world. So as we sojourn through this world, Paul said that grace is going to teach you how to live in it, how to exist in it, and not be complicit with it. Well, how does it do that? Look at Paul's other admonishment here. Verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Now, we know that happened at the cross, but he's talking about in your walk. Purifying unto himself a peculiar people, zealous for good works. Zealous to commit sin. No, he's going to make us zealous for good work. No way he says you're saved by works, but God has saved you unto good works. Ephesians, he said, we'll be careful to maintain, do the maintenance, to maintain good works. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in closing, almost. Corinthians 15, where the gospel is laid out. Paul lays out the gospel. Paul says, look, this is the message that I received, that I'm giving to you. You received. That God died for our sins, right? He said, well, no, not God, but Christ. Well, Christ, God, died for our sins. 1 Corinthians 15:1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. For by which you are saved, if you keep in memory that I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain, or simply not believe. For I delivered unto you at first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Verse 5, and that was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remains until this day, this present time or day. But some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James and of all the apostles, and at last he was seen also of me, born out of due time. Look at verse 9. I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet or fit, Paul is saying. I'm not fit in character to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am But by the grace of God, I am what I am. I want y'all to say it. By the grace of God, you are what you are. Now remember, Paul witnessed Stephen's death, right? Paul, you didn't get it back then, huh? He said, oh, but I got it now. So when I look back at that event, that made me preach the cross. Because I know in my heart of heart, God could have killed me right there while they were stoning Stephen. Because I was complicit. I agreed with it. He said, oh, but by the grace of God. God says, Paul, I see your zeal and your heart is sincere, but sincerely wrong. Now I'm going to take grace and flip you. And you go preach it. And oh, he did a job preaching it. Paul says, it's the grace of God that totally turned me around. Totally turned me around. Now, turn up 2 Timothy chapter 1. If you bring nothing home, would you bring this? Paul was a Matt Dillon of his time. He was a lawman. Y'all get that tomorrow. He was a lawman, and he enforced that law. Everybody, did I say 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy? I just want to see if y'all was listening. Look in verse 8. Paul says this, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. No, of me his prisoner. Paul went from jailing people to being thrown in jail. Now Paul said, I'm a prisoner of grace. And man, all the good work that I'm doing, I'm being thrown in jail. But it don't stop me because the word of God is not bound. Amen. He said, but thou be partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Well, Paul, okay, you said that over and over, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. In other words, teacher, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Paul said, here's what I know. Death ain't got nothing on me no more. You kill this body and I'm home with the Lord because death has no more power. There's no more sting. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, the power of sin is in the law. But now that grace has come, oh death, where's thy sting? Oh grave, where's thy victory? I ain't going to stay there. That is this body. And my spirit is not going to spend one second there. So Paul said, that's why I teach this message. And the word abolished, done away, void. So when y'all come to my funeral, don't cry, celebrate. He said, look at that hunk of sin laying there. And God is so complete, he's going to change that later on. And it's all by the grace of God. There's nothing in the Bible that convinces me to live the Christian life better than the grace of God. I look at all those who thought they were living it by law and they didn't even come close. Man, you can go back as far as you want. You can go back before the Jew. How did Noah get saved? He had grace in the eyes of God. God said nobody would be alive today if it wasn't for my grace. Because it is a favor that you cannot merit. You can't earn it. Two choices. Receive or reject. Can't straddle the fence. You want to live the Christian life? Let the teacher teach you. That's why Paul can use statements like, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as Christ forgave you. Well, Paul, how could you say that? Paul said, because I know what I've been forgiven of. And I'm sharing it with you. I was the law man. And Paul said, on a journey, I was going to Disney World and had to go by way of interstate. What was the interstate name, Miss Betty? Oh, I thought Miss Betty was old enough to remember, but I guess not. Interstate Damascus. And God says, Paul, can I talk to you? Can I introduce you to me? Because when Paul said, Lord, who art thou? Jesus Christ. You know, he didn't say God. You didn't persecute God. You thought you knew God. But now I'm going to introduce you to me. And once I introduce you to me, Paul, you're going to be all right. You can write a whole bunch of books. But I have to teach you a whole bunch of things. Now, Paul, for all those things that you've done, you're going to suffer a lot. Because you always are going to suffer when you go from a religion to the grace of God. You can bank on it. Law just don't let that happen. Anywhere in the New Testament, when you go from law to grace, you're going to have a hard row to hoe. Because it goes from what you do to what Christ did. As the Rav used to say, it's do and done. Religion has a good debit system. But Christianity is a credit system. God want to credit your account righteous. God want to credit you forgiven. God want to credit you his eternal being to live with him forever. God want to credit you. But religion said, no, just debit me. I got enough in my account to cover it. No, you don't. It's by the grace of God we are what we are. Acts chapter 20 and I close. Man, how do I live the Christian life? Paul said, rooted and grounded, built up in the faith as you've been taught. Rooted, grounded, built up in the faith. That's how you live the Christian life. That's how you got life. That's how you live the life. The only difference is I got to do it in and through you. And I'll do it. All I need from you is submission. Now, if you don't want to do that, you're going to look like a fire cell at the judgment seat of Christ. That is, if you're truly a believer. Acts chapter 20, verse 23. Paul and his swan song. Paul said, look, I'm about to get out of here. But here's what I want to pull your coat to. And I ask us, are we afraid to testify of the gospel of the grace of God? Acts chapter 20, verse 22. Paul says, Paul says, save the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide in me. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what was that ministry? To testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Paul said, if it ain't grace, it ain't the gospel. There ain't no other gospel. There's only one. Now, I can honestly say, I ain't ashamed to testify of it. I don't care what you think about me. My duty is to testify the gospel of grace of God. That's one thing I loved about Greg Durrell. Relentless gospel of the grace of God. Ain't no other gospel. If it was, it wouldn't be called good news. If it involved you doing something, it can't be good news. We messed it up. We're the zero. He's the hero. So let's know that. Let's know that it's all the grace of God. Man, if you hadn't come through the gospel of the grace of God, Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, man, how could y'all so be removed from the grace that brought you to Christ? Paul said the gospel of the grace that brought you to Christ to another gospel. To another gospel. Now you know what Paul was talking about? Peter and the rest of them try to bring back the law. Paul said, it doesn't work. I'm a witness that it doesn't work. What works is unmerited favor. Things that God want to do for you. And now that you accept what he's done for you, let him do what he want to do through you. Because when Christ, who is our life, for Christ, who is our life, if you got any life at all, it's Christ through the grace of God. When he shall appear, Paul said, we shall appear with him. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. Lord, again, we thank you for this gospel of the grace of God. And it just sounds, I mean, people got all kind of names for it. Greasy grace. Whatever name they got for it, Lord, you simply call it the gospel of the grace of God. You looked down from heaven and you saw a creation that had just went ape. And you made the choice to come down and dwell tabernacle among us. To show us how kind and how merciful and how gracious you really are. God manifested in the flesh, saying, go and sin no more. God manifested in the flesh, says, you go home justified. God manifested in the flesh, saying, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden with sin, and I'll give you rest. And I believe it, Lord, and I receive it, and I thank you that it was all done by you. And Lord, we thank you for Christ, who made it all work for it. His mighty name I pray. Amen.